thee, for I cannot find the way alone. I cannot find the way without thee. Dear Lord, look down from thy throne and make the light to shine about me, for I cannot find the way alone. When the raging storms of life confound me, dear Lord, will thou keep me thine own? Let me feel thy precious hands around me, for I cannot find the way alone. I cannot find the way without thee. Dear Lord, look down from thy throne and make the light to shine about me, for I cannot find the way alone.
I open your Bible to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. I'm going to finish this morning the series of messages we started several weeks ago on the love of Christ. Now, we got a lot of people that's out today. Matter of fact, we've had two bad Sundays now. Nobody showed up. And we're picking up new people every week just about on the tape ministry. I suppose if it wasn't for the tape ministry, we just probably wouldn't have church here, because that's about the only biggest crowd we got. But we got a lot of people on the tape ministry. We've had on there for months and months. We've never heard anything from them. And since the ministry's growing so much, I've cut out several last week, and we're going to cut out some more if we don't hear something from them pretty soon, because I require when people get these tapes, they listen to them. And if I never hear anything for them, I don't even know you're getting them. So, we're going to make some changes in our tape ministry in the next few weeks, probably a few more. So if you get our tapes and we never heard from you in 6 or 7 months, it'd be good for you to let us know that you're still getting those tapes. Because we've already dropped several. Our tape ministry, like we said, is picking up every week. We're going into 10 states now with tapes, and of course, I'm glad we're able to send them out, but I'd like to know that those folks that get those tapes do listen to them. Okay, now, in Ephesians chapter 3, let's begin there reading at verse 13, Ephesians 3:13. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant unto you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. This is the verse 14 through verse 21 is second prayer in the book of Ephesians. The first prayer is found in chapter 1, verse 15 through verse 23. And the first prayer Paul prayed there is that God would give them spiritual wisdom and knowledge, and their eyes of understanding being enlightened, and they would know the hope of their calling and the glory of the inheritance and the exceeding greatness of His power to all who believe according to the working of His mighty power. And this power was wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. And this same power that raised Christ from the dead is working in the believers today. Now this prayer, the first prayer, is called a prayer of enlightenment. The prayer that I just read you in chapter 3, verse 14 through verse 21 is called a prayer of enablement. This prayer, Paul wants the church there at Ephesus to learn what they have and to live what they've learned. Now, we got a lot of people today that are saved in churches and they don't live right because they've never learned right. And the saddest thing about that is most church people today will not learn right in this modern day apostate church movement that we've got today. I mean, if you in a church this morning and you're not learning what this prayer is and you're not knowing what this Paul meant when he said there in verse 16 that he would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. If you don't know what that inner man is, and you don't know that inner man is getting stronger, then I'm going to make a recommendation that you get out of that dead outfit. I was in a church one time, and somebody asked me to pray, and I prayed that God would strengthen the inner man. And later on, a man came to me and he said, "Well, preacher, I never heard nobody pray like that before." I said, "Did you ever read the Bible?" I mean, that's in the Bible. The first thing was, notice there, and notice who this is addressed to. Paul said there, he says, he mentioned his condition, that he was in jail, and he said, "For this cause, I bow my knee on the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ," and he said, "of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." He was praying for the family of God. Now, I'm not going to get in the family of God, but notice what he says. The whole family in heaven and earth is named. This family has two locations. It's in heaven and it's in earth. Notice there that this family is not talking about under the earth. In Philippians, he said, "Every knee shall bow to the Lord, whether it be things in heaven, things in earth, or things under the earth." Notice this family is not under the earth. That means there's no such thing as purgatory. That means no such thing as somebody going to hell and ever getting out. This family here is not but in two places. It's on heaven, the walking, living saints. And it's in heaven, those that have gone on to be with the Lord. That's the only two places where the saints are. I mean, if you're in a religion or a denomination or whatever you may be in, and it teaches you that you can be in this family and still go to hell, they're telling you a lie according to the Bible. There's no such thing as anybody being in the family of God and going to hell. I said, I know I mention this about every week, but I want to make it real clear how I stand. A man said to me just the other day, he said, "You make it pretty clear on what you believe about the King James Bible, don't you?" I said, "Yeah, I want everybody to know it. I make no apology or no excuses for nothing this Bible says." When I say this Bible, I'm not talking about but one Bible. You're not a Bible believer if you have two Bibles. Now, I've got several. I've got probably 8 or 10 Bibles, but they're all King James. All mine are alike. Now, notice there that the first thing of this prayer was that Paul mentioned that in verse 16 that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. So the first request for this prayer is that the inner man might know spiritual strength by the Spirit. I mean, you know, some folks, if most saved people, and I'm talking about saved people now, I've been dealing for the past 3 weeks mostly the Christian people. I haven't been too evangelistic, and this thing this morning is talking to saved people. If you're unsaved, this won't affect you too much, because this is a thing that has to do with saved people and their knowledge and dedication to knowing the things of God. And the first request here is that Paul said that you might be strengthened by his Spirit in the inner man. So if most people today, if you treated your outward flesh like you do that inner man, you'd be a starved bum. You know it? I mean, most people today that are saved, they never do nothing to feed the inner man. You couldn't get them in a Bible-believing church. You couldn't get them under the Word of God. You couldn't even get them to exercise that inner man. You couldn't never get them to do nothing to that inner man. It's all flesh. The Bible said over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, it says, "Though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." And that's simply saying this, is if this old man dies, this old outward flesh dies every day to worldliness and to covetousness, and the things that attract the flesh, as this outward man dies day by day, this inward man, as he draws closer and closer to home, he ought to be gaining momentum every day. You know, it seems a strange thing to me, but saved people, Christianity and being saved is not just in this world. I'll get on this some more later on, but saved people are going to heaven. And as that day approaches and it's getting closer every day, you ought to be preparing that one that's going for that place. So the prayer here that Paul praying, first of all, is the first request is the inner man might be empowered by the Spirit of God. Now notice this is something that has to do with the inward man. This is not flesh. The inner man is never strengthened through the flesh. The inner man is strengthened through prayer and the Word of God. Now I want to read you a couple of verses in the Bible now, because this goes right along with what I'm about to say. I want to read you a verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. And listen to what the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 2:13. He says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God, which you heard of us," notice Paul went in there and it didn't say when you heard us how we went to school and about our experience in college. He said, "We went there, you heard the Word of God from us." And he said, "You received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the Word of God, which effectively worketh also in you that believe." To be strengthened in a man, a person's got to receive the Word of God and believe the Word of God, believe that it's God's Word, and then it will effectively work in them. If a man takes the Bible and so, well, that's good, but there are others that are accurate and reliable. He might be an educated ass, but the Word of God ain't going to do nothing inside him. I ain't sorry I said that. I meant what I said. So what we got today is, we got too many people running around professing to be saved, and probably some of them are, that don't know what to govern their life by. Paul said that your inner man be strengthened. What Paul is saying is this, that the people there at the church, that they might be stronger on the inside than they were on the outside, that their life may be based more on the strength of the Spirit of God rather than on the flesh that people see. Your life as a Christian is a lot more than just the flesh that people look on every day. Matter of fact, that's about all most people have, though I know that, but you can't be a Christian and live after the flesh. Now, you can be saved, I know that. Most saved people do live after the flesh. That's why a lot of saved people probably die early too, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 1. But I want to read you some more scripture now that deal with that in Galatians. In Galatians chapter 5, and look there at verse 16. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. The Bible said, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Now that's not a suggestion, that's a direct saying that if a man walks in the Spirit, he won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And you can see today that most people don't walk in the Spirit, because the only life they know is that the flesh demands. So Paul, you know, went on and gave a little dissertation there on the flesh. He said in verse 17, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." See? Now there's a lot of, I've seen people sit in church, you know, and you get up and preach the Word of God, tell them something the Bible said, and they say, "I believe that, and I intend to change this," and when they say it, they mean it. But they never do it, and I'll tell you why they never do it. Because the flesh is stronger than the inner man. And the prayer here is that the inner man might be stronger than the flesh by the Spirit of God, that a person might live after the Spirit and be able to deny the demands of the flesh. The inner man is not stronger than a person has to come under the demands of the law of the flesh. Because look at verse 18, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 18. It said, "But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law." If a person doesn't, his strength doesn't come from the inner man of the Spirit, he'll have to live under the law of the flesh. And that's not a Christian walk. That's not a Christian life. Folks, let me tell you something. I've been somebody one time told me, "You in the flesh?" I said, "Yeah, I've been in the flesh for 54 years. I ain't got my glorified body yet." But what I'm saying is this. Your flesh demands some things. And the only way for a saved person to have victory over the law of that flesh is to be stronger in the inner man than he is the flesh. And most folks aren't that way. And like I said, it's sad to say, but they never will be either in the condition they're in now. The church they're in, the preaching they sit under, the word, the no more than power than is in the denomination they're a part of and support, they'll never be strengthened in the inner man. That's a shame today among the ranks of saved people. But the Spirit gives the inner man strength, and the Spirit gives to inner man power to do things and to believe things that are impossible for the flesh to understand. I could give you numbers of illustrations of that, but I won't go into. But this same book, Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, Paul said, "I'm crucified with Christ." In other words, he's talking about his flesh. He said, nevertheless, I live. That's kind of a paradox, isn't it? Man said, I'm dead, but I'm a living. Well, that's what a Christian life is. He said, nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, for it's not the flesh, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And that's what he said. He says, I'm alive, yet I'm dead. But the life you see is not the one of the flesh. It's the life of Christ that lives in me. And I live it by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And this is the basis of everything Paul said here was based on the fact that the love of Christ was demonstrated in his life. If that's not the first thing in your life, if everything you live and believe and do and stand for and stand against is not based on the fact you love Christ, you'll never be strengthened in the inner man. Never, never. Now, you can be saved and, well, let me rephrase that. You can't be saved and not have the Spirit of God. Romans 8 and 9, the Bible said, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. You can't be saved and not have the Spirit of God. But you can be saved and the Spirit of God not have you. And that's what Paul is talking about here. And that's the condition most people are in today. Most people that are saved, they live after the flesh, they walk after the flesh, they know nothing about the strength of the inner man, they know nothing about that, they know nothing about the crucified life, they know nothing about the dedicated life, they know nothing about a walk of faith. The only thing they know is what the flesh demands, and that's because they've never been exposed to the reality of knowing the love of God and knowing the love of Christ and what it took to keep them from going to hell. You take today the average person that's saved, and I say the average, maybe I'm under-exaggerating, it's probably a great deal more than that. It's probably at least 95% of the saved people today, they are not spiritual. The only authority they know is what that the flesh demands. They can't go beyond the demands of the flesh or the knowledge of the flesh. We preached a little bit on this in last week in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now let me just illustrate that by history. Years ago, I mean, you know, let's take 30, 40, maybe give or take a few either way. Churches used to have revivals. Most churches used to have simultaneously revivals. I know the Southern Baptist churches used to have at least two a year. That was the minimum most of them ever had. And when they had a revival, they would start off 2 weeks and maybe three, at least 2 weeks. And a lot of them went 3 weeks if the revival was going good, people were getting saved, God's people were getting right. Well, they just go on sometimes 3 weeks and even sometimes four, maybe a little longer. And then the thing narrowed down, they start having a week's revival. You know, Monday through Friday. But today they don't do that. Today they have 3-day revivals and 2-day revivals. Now why do you think it's got like that? One man said one time, he said, Why today people are just too busy. They just can't come to church 5 nights a week. You can't ask people to come and sit down in church 5 nights a week. You know why? You know, and he's right, you know. But you know why that's right? Because people are so carnal and so weary and so fleshly, they can't stand that many nights of spiritual food in the inner man. And that's the truth of it. But I tell you what they can do. They can sit down 7 nights a week and watch that idiot box 3 and 4 hours and never have a complaint. And then we wonder why when we watch Sunday morning when the church doors open and the song is sung and the preacher stands up, the Holy Ghost don't do nothing in that thing. Nobody gets edified. The saints don't enjoy God. And the Word of God don't have no effect on sinners. And your life don't have no effect on sinners. And the only reason people can call you a Christian because they say you go to church Sunday morning, that's why I just told you. Now flesh fits this world. Spirit fits heaven. The reason people aren't heavenly minded because they're not spiritual minded. Paul went over here in this next book in Colossians 3:1. He said, set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. People know nothing about that. Everything they've got, everything that people believe today is set and geared according to this world. A man told me the other day, he said, one day you'll need your Social Security. I doubt it. I'm not, listen, folks, I ain't no more depending on Social Security than I'm depending on Santa Claus. Amen? I mean, the future don't worry me one bit. That's how you talk like that. Somebody say, well, Rusty, what about one day you can't work and you have to retire? I don't plan on retiring. What am I going to retire from, too? I plan on keeping going as long as I got breath and strength. And when that gives out, God just take me on out of here. I ain't planning on retiring. God don't have no retirement plan. Well, I'm going to tell you something today. This world has just about got everything under control. The life of most saved people, the flesh has it under control. This flesh fits in this world. Heavenly things fit the Spirit. Now the Bible said in Colossians chapter 1 verse 27, it says Christ in you, the hope of glory. I mean Christ, Jesus Christ, makes you fit for heaven. Now you listen to me. Christ in you makes you fit for heaven. But for you to be in Christ makes you fit to be spiritual in this world. And like we said, that's one of the problems we've got today in our churches. Most folks that are saved, they just aren't spiritual. And I'm going to tell you something else. You'll never be spiritual apart from the Bible. And look in your Bible, Ephesians chapter 3, the verse we read here. And look what it says in verse 17. It said that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you've been rooted and grounded in love. And notice what it says. It said that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. In other words, that Christ may be in you enough to teach you to live by faith. And if that be, you'll be rooted and grounded. Now listen. The root determines the fruit, whether you know it or not. The root makes the fruit. Your roots in this world, your fruit's going to be flesh. That's why we got so much entertainment and activity and meetings and all this thing in most of our churches. They are rooted in this world. If your roots in this book, your fruit's going to be spiritual. And that's automatic. Let's look here. I'm probably not going to get all this message said. There's more than a lot of things going to get on tape. But I'm going to try to finish it up. There's 5 great requests that Paul made there for the saints. And the first one was there in verse 16, a request for inner strength. The second request there was in verse 17 that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Now there's two things about that request. Number one is that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. In other words, that Christ may be comfortable in your heart. Now folks, listen to you. Did you ever go somewhere and you just felt uncomfortable? I have. I've been in homes. I've been in around people where I could just feel that I wasn't the most liked fellow around. You know, I've been in homes. I know some homes right now where I can go in, but I mean, you'd feel that, you know, they'd be glad you leave. And that's what that's talking about, see? I mean, if the inner man is strengthened by the Spirit, then Christ can dwell there, and Christ can dwell there comfortable, and you can be satisfied, and Christ can be satisfied. And it says, Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, and that you be rooted. You know, you got a root that's going down, holding on, and that you're grounded in what? In love. Now, you heard so much about that day. I'm not going to get in that, but that's just about destroying the reality. But that's not talking about this love you hear today. That's talking about a person having something in his heart that's from God that nobody else knows nothing about but him, and that's given to him by the Spirit of God. And then verse 18, he makes another request. He said that you may be able to comprehend with all saints. And thus Paul prays for intelligent discernment. Which, you know, people have very little of today. Most people today that are saved have very, very little spiritual discernment. That's why they don't know nothing about the Bible. You know, they'll take one verse over there where it's talking about Israel. I heard a man say something the other day over there in Hebrews 9 in verse 26. And he said, it's appointed unto man once to die, after this the judgment. And to them that look for him shall he appear the second time with salvation. Well, that man don't know what he's talking about. That's not talking about the church. Well, folks, let me tell you something. You listen to me. If Christ only appears to those that look for Him, most saved people will never get to heaven. Because most saved people ain't looking for Him. You can tell the way they live, they ain't looking for Him. But let me tell you something. He's coming whether you're looking for Him or not. If you're saved, you're going to heaven whether you believe it or not. If you're not saved, you're going to hell whether you like it or not. As far as the second time, he never has appeared to the church or the Gentile the second time. He hadn't appeared to them yet the first time. The Bible says he came to his own, and his own received him not. Well, that's not talking about the church or the Gentile nation. That's talking about the Jewish nation. So you see, people have no spirit. They just take a verse in the Bible, they read it, and they put it down, don't know what they're talking about. So Paul prays here that they have some intelligent discernment of spiritual things. My, my, how we need that today. People just get their Bible right. Some of these dumb jokers, you know, they say, well, you can't understand that old Bible. You better get you another translation. Well, all I say to that, if you have trouble, I didn't say you know all the Bible. I didn't say that. I don't know all the Bible. A lot of I don't know, but there's a lot of that more I don't know than that I do know. Let me tell you some things I do know. I do know what it takes to get a man saved. I do know how a Christian ought to live. And I do know that God's Word is true. And I do know that Jesus is coming back. And I do know that a saved person ought to live in the light of the judgment seat of Christ after he's saved. So Paul prays there for intelligent discernment, the ability to understand the spiritual things of God. And then he prays in verse 19, to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. In other words, Paul is praying that they would know some things about Christ that you won't get from just having a college education. I'm going to say this thing one more time in case somebody hadn't already heard it. Education don't make you spiritual. And education doesn't strengthen the inner man. I wish it did. I know we was in a meeting here not long ago, and the place was filled with doctors because there must have been a lot of sick people there. There was Dr. Rip Slinger over there, and Dr. Snot Pitcher over there, and Dr. Booger over there, and all kind of doctors around that place, you know. And they called on a couple of them fellas to pray, and I always listen to a man's prayer. I'm just about 99% of the time, I'm listening to a man pray and tell you whether he's spiritual or not. But I listen to these fellas pray, you know, and it's about like, you know what I mean, good men probably say, but no spirit there at all. No spirit at all. You see, we come to a point where you think if a man's got a college education, he's got a degree in front of his name, a PhD or a DDD or whatever you want to call him, that makes him spiritual, folks. That don't do it. Paul, the prayer was, the inner man may be strengthened by the Spirit. And the only thing that motivates the Spirit, and the only thing that gives the Spirit power to work is the Word of God. From the Word of God, nobody will ever be spiritual. I don't care how smart you are. And then Paul prayed one more thing in verse 19, to be filled with God. Boy, something else is missing in the saved people today. He said you be filled with God. Over in Colossians, I believe it's chapter 2, he said in Christ is the fullness of the Godhead. I'll get in that later on. In verse 17, Paul's prayer is that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. In other words, that the inner man is strong enough in Christ to live by faith. Now, folks, let me tell you something. The Bible said in Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. Now, it takes more than just the flesh to live by faith. I'm going to tell you that right now. I know a lot of you say live by faith, and a lot of people got it. Well, that means just go out here, you don't have no money, you don't work, you just sit back and say, well, God, here I am now, send me everything I need. That's not what it's talking about. Living by faith is not talking about somebody going out here and sitting on his do nothing, never doing nothing, never believing nothing, never standing nothing, let God take care of a thing. That's not what it's talking about. Living by faith is somebody that follows the, it's the authority of his life, it's the Word of God, and he's strengthened by the inner man. Faith is an attribute of the Word of God. If you live by faith, you got to follow the Word of God. I know a preacher one time, he wouldn't hit a lick at a snake, he wouldn't pay 20 cents to see a rattlesnake ride a bicycle backwards, and he said, live by faith. That's not living by faith. You sit down and won't work, you ought to starve to death, you saw a rascal. Man who won't work and feed his family, he's sorry, he ought to starve there. They ain't living by faith. Living by faith is believing God and following the Word of God in your life. Paul prayed there that in verse 17 that Christ would dwell in your heart by faith. In verse 18 he says that you may be able to comprehend with all saints. Notice the addresses, the saints, those that are in the family of God. So only the saved people are going to ever understand what he's about to say here. Now here's what he said. He said, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. Now I read one fellow wrote about this. He said, well, that's talking about the breath is talking about the love of Christ and what's my next word? I kind of lost my place. The length is talking about eternity to eternity, and the depth is talking about the bottom of the ocean, and height is talking about heaven. I don't think that's what he's talking about here. I'll tell you why. A few weeks ago, we preached about Romans chapter 8, and Paul said, I'm persuaded that neither breadth, nor height, nor depth can separate us from the love of God. He was talking about some geographical measurements. And I'm going to tell you,
unless I'm wrong, and I don't think I am, unless I'm wrong, Paul is saying this, that we are a bunch of people, saved people are a bunch of people that's a long, long way from home. We're down here in the bottom of the universe, and heaven's a long, long way off. And we're misfits in this world, and I'm going to tell you something this morning. If you profess to be saved, and you never learned that heaven's not your home, I mean, this world's not your home, you're not much of a Christian. First thing you better get right is this, that you are a stranger in a foreign land. You are a long way from home. This is not home, folks. This ain't it. This world's not our home. If you don't know that, you never come to realize that. You don't know much about God, and I might even question whether you're saved or not. And I'm going to tell you something else while I'm on that subject, too. We're not in this world to make this world a better place to live. That ain't why we're here. Boy, if we're here to make this world a better place to live, we're all a bunch of flat-flop failures, amen? Because this world's getting worse by the day. We're not in this world to make this world a better place to live. And I tell you something else. I'm gonna cross a lot of people's path right now, too. The most important thing for a Christian is not necessarily soul winning. I ain't against winning souls. Don't you misunderstand what I'm saying. But that's not the most important thing. The most important thing for you here in this world is to know you're saved and keep yourself right with God. Stay in fellowship with God and find out what God wants you to do. And then you do it. A lot of people got to die, you know, well, the most important thing, winning souls. Go out here and win souls, and then it don't matter what you do. That's not what the Bible says. The most important thing for you as a saved person, a Christian, is to know the will of God for your life and go out here and do it. While you take the average saved person today, and I'm underestimating that again, when I said the average, you take 99% of the saved people today, they don't care what this Bible says. They're going to live how they want to, where they want to, and do what they want to, and if they get ready to, and they don't care what this Bible says. While they profess to be in the will of God, let me tell you something, folks, if I throwed my Bible away this morning, I'd change my whole life for 3 o'clock this afternoon. There's a lot of things in my life. Matter of fact, I try to give everything in my entire life based on the Word of God. Paul said here, he said, we're saints in a world that hates our Savior, hates our Bible, and hates us. And what we ought to do is start getting our life in order and getting ready. Well, when that day comes, we stand before our Savior. We go to that place that God prepared for us. And we stand before God that saved us to reconcile us and give us what we've got coming. We ought to prepare for that day. Let me tell you something, folks. This prayer here is probably the greatest prayer in the Bible for a Christian. If a person follows this prayer, this prayer will produce an unearthly Christian. If I know the Bible right, that's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be unearthly people that have no stock, no roots, no confidence in this world. Our future's not in this world. But I'm going to tell you something. The day God saved us, He changed all that. Let me tell you something this morning. Your entire life, what you believe, what you think, your motive, your present tense, and your future, if that's not based on nothing but the Bible, you'll never really understand the things of God. Paul said there in verse 19, to know the love of Christ. To know beyond the love of Christ. And notice what he says, which passeth knowledge. In other words, to know Christ more than you can get from a Bible college or a cemetery or a seminary. To go beyond that in knowledge. And that's why I've said so many times, I still say it again, I get a lot of people upset at me for saying it. Going to Bible college doesn't equip a man to know the Bible. Now, I'm not against that. I didn't go, I never will go. I never go to a Bible college. I don't believe a man has to go